Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday to you. Okay, so we have a little janky today because if you can hear the music behind me, I'm currently leading worship at the Women Evolve Conference in Arlington, Texas. And so I could not find a quiet place to record this. But today's podcast interview is with just the sweetest new friend of mine. Her name is Lyndon. And she is into functional nutrition and medicine. I first saw one of her posts when she was posting about Reishi coffee. And so I was like, okay, she's already somebody I'm obsessed with because we both love Jesus and Reishi coffee and eating healthy. And we just have a really, I think, honest conversation in this episode about relationships and being seen and being known and vulnerability and all those really hard conversations and topics that I think it's not a destination. It's just as we work on getting better and growing, it's something that we work on. So enjoy my conversation with Lyndon. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on this episode with me. I'm excited. So I first started following you when I saw you post about Reishi coffee.
Yes.
Always drinking. I think I'm on like my fourth cup today.
Yes, I love it. Oh my gosh, it's honestly the best. I could talk about it forever.
Right, same. Yes. And then I saw you starting to like post about Jesus and stuff. And I was like, I love following people that love Jesus and health stuff, but also like stay in like a good healthy lane, because in the health world, it can get really, really funky. So
yes.
So I started... you know, following you, and I was like, wow, her message just is just really, really sweet. And I feel like you have just like a pure and a tender heart. And so I'm just like, oh, I'm talking to this girl.
Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you just share a little bit first about kind of your walk into like into the health field and kind of where you started with that?
Yeah. Gosh, 2019 was when it really became something that I was like even thinking about or realizing that I needed to honestly just like prioritize. Yeah. My health just took a plummet really, really hard in 2019. And then obviously going into 2020 with COVID and just the chaos of that year. And I actually got married that year. So it was just everything that could have come in one year came. And you know, like growing up, I was a gymnast and then I had an eating disorder in high school. And so like there was a lot of things when it came to my health that like I knew externally when it came to like my body that, oh yeah, you know, food affects my body. It affects the way I look, but it wasn't really much deeper than that. And so, yeah, then 2019 came and was just having chronic fatigue and really bad skin issues and just honestly a ton of symptoms. And finally kind of end of 2021 into 2022, you know, I went to go get my blood work done and she had kind of said, you know, well, it looks like your hormones are just bottomed out. Like I've never seen a 20-year-old with, you know, this low of hormones. And she was like, but we can just put you on some hormones and like do a liver cleanse because it looks like your liver enzymes are up and whatever. And I just left thinking, man, I feel like I should be in the peak of my life right now. You know, like I feel like my health should be the best it's ever been, and this just doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And so by the grace of God, yeah, I just dove into research and learning how to read blood work. And like from then on, I've literally never stopped learning about it, and I just like fell in love with it. And yeah, I just feel like the Lord's really given me this passion for seeing what he meant when he said like that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And what that means for us, you know, and even looking back at the Old Testament of how the priests were to be in the temple and how the temple was to be kept and like how beautiful the temple was and the purpose of it being for communion with the Lord and how we're the temples of the Holy Spirit now. And that means like every way we treat our body, every way we, you know, interact with our body, speak to our body, like it's a holy act. And God really cares about it. And so I think just seeing the way that God really cares about our body, like, just did something in me. So it just got me on a kick. And then I got certified as a practitioner and just been going for it.
Yeah, I love that. I think in the last few years, I've gotten really, I recovered from chronic pain as well through going through like the mind body connection and stuff. And so really wanting to, I've been doing a lot of deep dives into the brain and our mind and, you know, how it affects the body and all of that. Yeah. And it is so true. It's like the way we, speak to ourselves, speak over ourselves, the way we affirm truth, all of that kind of stuff. It's powerful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And trauma and, you know, all of those things, like it's so important. And I feel like that was even the beginning of my health journey, was when I was working with a woman and we were going through trauma and forgiveness and working on bitterness and, you know, things that had happened in my childhood. And I don't think we realize like the connection between all of them, you know, and how important the mind is on the body. And you just can't disconnect them. And, you know, it's even in scripture, like he says that our body is one, you know? So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. And I think it's, you know, it's important as we talk about the health conversation. I love how it's more common now. We're realizing like being healthy doesn't just mean a good diet, you know, a good supplement protocol, all of that kind of stuff. It also means like emotional health and relational health and physical health. Like it's kind of, you know, you can eat the best diet, but you know, if your mind isn't great and if there's other aspects of your life that aren't doing well, it's like you can't totally be healthy without kind of getting this well-rounded, which I think is so biblical as well, because it's like God created us as these beings that function in the natural and in the supernatural. Yep. And it's like, you know, he's given us this access to learn how to be healthy, mind, body, soul. Yeah. And so it's exciting and it's a lot to learn, but I think it's so powerful. And I love our conversation today because you were saying before we started, like, you know, it's been really fresh with you. I think it has been with me too. I've been on this big Kurt Thompson kick.
Okay.
Read any of his books?
I don't think so.
So I found his first book. He talks a lot about the mind-body connection, but he has a book, The Soul of Shame, The Soul of Desire, and he just put a book out, The Deepest Place. So it's all on being seen and known by others and by God. So he's amazing. And I think I've been learning a lot about relational health, because I wouldn't say that I've always been the healthiest, you know, in navigating relationships. So I was talking with a friend the other day. I was like, one of my best friends, we just stopped talking because like something went down and then we just never talked about it. We just literally stopped talking. And I was like, man, and that's not a one-time occurrence for me.
Right.
So I just think it's helpful for people to just learn these relational skills. And I know you said you were passionate about it. How did you kind of, you know, grow this desire in just working through this like relational health area?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, a lot like you, I am really bad at relationships. Like I'm just being super honest. Stuck at it.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
And like being aware, it's such a great place to start.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like compassionate curiosity all the way.
Love it. Yeah.
And I just got to this point where I think I was starting to realize, and I would talk to my husband about it. Like, man, I just feel like even when I'm in community, I'm not really in community. Like when I'm in community, I am not letting community in. And so I just feel like a body in a room with a bunch of people that don't really know me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even with the friendships that I was in, it was kind of this thing where it was like always one-sided. And to be honest, like I taught them how to treat me. I taught them to treat me as someone who just asked questions, pursued them, but they didn't really have to pursue or know. Mm-hmm. And so I was finding that in all of my relationships, it was kind of the same, that, you know, no one really knew me. No one knew where I was at or how I was doing or whatever. And I just realized, like, I can't blame everybody else. If all of my relationships look like this, then it's probably a me thing. You know what I mean? And so I just kind of started realizing like, man, I don't want to go the rest of my life never feeling known by anybody. You know, like I want to feel loved. I want to feel seen. But then that came at the risk of being known and being seen. And that was really scary. You know, I had been hurt so many times at that level of intimacy with friendships and relationships where I was like, it's totally easy for me to just ask you all the questions and be really engaged in your life. And you know nothing about me. Like, it doesn't hurt me one bit, you know? Mm-hmm. But it does leave me feeling really lonely. And so it was kind of this risk of, I remember talking to the Lord one day and he was like, would you rather have, you know, would you rather be safe and never be hurt again, but never feel truly loved and fully known, fully seen, and truly experience love, mm-hmm. like what you have with your husband? Or would you be willing to get hurt, but experience the fullness of like love and being seen and being known? And I was like, well, I would like to say that like I'm totally okay with being hurt, you know? Yeah. But like my actions and the fruit of my life say that I would rather be safe.
Totally.
And so, you know, and then the Lord like took me on this whole journey of really just revealing to me Jesus and how he walked. And the Lord said, like, I could have hung on that tree any way, you know, it could have looked any way. I could have died anyway, but like I died with my arms pinned open wide to a people who spit, rejected, betrayed, and absolutely abandoned me. And 12 of my closest people, like not only the whole world, but like the people that knew me, you know? And so he was like, what excuse do you have? And I was like, I don't have an excuse, you know, like
those are hard moments with God.
Oh yeah, it was. And I'm just weeping, you know, I'm like, oh, you're right. I don't have an excuse. And so, yeah, I think just in that moment, I was like, you're inviting me into something good, you know, like you want to give me something, you want to give me a gift in this. And yeah, it's scary, but I'm willing. So I started reading this book. It was called Find Your People by Jenny Allen. Mm-hmm. And I just realized even more so how much I was terrible at relationships.
Yeah.
But I was like excited, you know, I was like, oh, I suck at this, but like, I can totally get better. You know, I'm like, we can do this. Yeah. I'm like, I might get my heart stomped on, but like, mm-hmm. for it. And so, yeah, I just like really committed myself to letting community in and leaning into what I already had. I already had people around me, you know, I already had good friends that even, you know, some of them being like, I want to know you. Like, why do you deflect every time I ask you how you are? Like, just tell me how you are, you know? And so instead of like withholding from everybody, I just started saying, okay, yeah, like this is how my day's going, or like this is how I'm doing. And that lie of like, they don't really care, they don't want to hear it, like it always nags. But I think realizing, man, these people do really want to hear, like they do want to know. It's not loving to be in a one-sided relationship. They don't feel loved, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
So yeah,
that's really good, because I think there's different reasons why we all put people at arm's length, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think I always thought I was decent at relationships, and then I got sick, and then that's when it all went, you know, different. But I was like, no, I think I was definitely in a similar, being like a pastor's kid, but then also being like a worship leader. And so, you know, helping people a lot, giving people coming to me, you know, when things go wrong. And so, yeah, being the one to give advice or just to check in on people and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized for me, it was like the, I'll let you know a lot about me, but I'm not willing to be vulnerable.
Right.
And then realizing the types of things that I consider vulnerable, right, is like if you hurt my feelings, or like if you make me mad, or mm-hmm. conflict, like those kinds of things. I'll tell you my deepest, darkest sins, like those kinds of things I don't have a problem with. But it's like, you know, needing help or, right, like there, I don't know if you encountered any of this, but like days of being sick and people like, can I bring you anything? No, 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 I'm good. I'm totally fine. You know, like all of those kinds of things. And how it is like, and I can imagine, you know, when God asked you that, because it's not like keeping people at a distance isn't hurtful at all either, right? So mm-hmm. it's like which kind of pain are we willing to embrace, you know? It's hard, because both hurt.
Yeah.
Both can really hurt, but it's just like, yeah, the pain of growth hurts too. The pain yeah. of, you know, surrendering to God, like it can be really painful and hurtful.
Totally. But it's,
yeah, learning how to, yeah, surrender and say, okay, can like how, so, I mean, just practically for those listening, like, so you, I mean, you just started saying what you were actually feeling. Like, was that just like a, did you have to just be super conscious of it?
Yeah, honestly, I know that sounds so silly because it's like, you should just be able to tell people, but I like, I would not tell people anything ever because I was like, in my head, I was like, people would rather just talk about themselves and that's okay. Like, as long as they stay in relationship with me, like, and I just like, at least have people, like, it's fine if they don't know, you know? Yeah. But I think, yeah, asking for help is really hard. I think for me, I had to, with the Lord, dig to this root of why am I so afraid? You know, because these are the symptoms, right? Like these are the things that are coming out of a deeper root. And so I'm like, why am I so afraid ultimately to, it started at abandonment, but then I was like, is it rejection? And I was like, no, I'm afraid I'm not going to be loved. And why am I afraid that I'm going to not be loved or that like I'm not lovable? And so I think that, you know, for anybody listening, not just dealing with the symptoms. And I think that there's a part to play of like, you do kind of just have to make the practical steps of like letting people in or being vulnerable or asking for help or, you know, even just bringing up like, hey, this is how I feel in our relationship. And like, I love you and I'm for you. But maybe like the humility of me being like, yeah, I've taught you how to treat me, but like it's left me feeling lonely or like whatever, as you know, one side of it. But then the other side of like, the Lord wants to meet you in the places of your deepest fears. And so will you let him meet you there? Because if he doesn't, then you will probably still operate in the same way you always did. You know, like if he doesn't heal that root, you can manage symptoms for a while. But it's not truly going to sustain like long-term growth. So it's like an invitation with the Lord and also like seeing him and his friendship, you know, friendship with the Holy Spirit and being like, oh my gosh, you've been the best friend to me.
Right.
Like, you're honest. You like stay with me in the moments that are the hardest and the ugliest moments of my life, the best moments of my life. Like you tell me the truth wrapped in grace, like thinking about the way that the Lord treats us, or like if you don't have that history with the Lord, thinking about your best friend and how your best friend or the best person in your life right now has treated you and seeing that God is that and better, you know? I think, yeah, it's like identifying with compassionate curiosity, like what are the things that you can grow in, whether it's conflict, you know, asking for help, being vulnerable, or, you know, whatever it is. And then asking the Lord to like take you deeper.
Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. Cause yeah, it seems like we've become definitely more of a hyper lonely society.
Yeah.
They've been doing a lot of different studies on loneliness and how it's at, you know, its height right now. And
yeah,
you know, and I think we're seeing the impacts of that in like so many spheres of, you know, the world, in church, in, I mean, every aspect. And it's, I think relationship, Dr. Kurt Thompson talks about this, and the only ways that we can heal some of our deepest hurts is to encounter the healthy version of that in love from God and from others as well, which is a really hard one because we so much want to be like, okay, you know, the last three people I trusted burned me. So I can't trust anybody. And it's this, it's this hardening of the heart, trying not to, right? But it's just like, out of self-protection, out of not knowing any better. It's like, okay, I can't do this. I got to trust myself now. I still trust God. God, I trust you, but I don't trust other people because they've hurt me too many times. And it's like trying to find that balance. Did you notice in yourself, like you would treat God the way you would treat others, or did you not put any of those walls up with him?
That's a good question. Surprisingly, in a lot of ways, I don't think I did. I just always knew like God cares for me. God loves me.
Yeah.
I think if I did put something on God, it was probably asking for help or assuming that he had no patience for me to ask for help, or like it was, yeah, figure it out on your own. And even while you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, this idol really, especially in the US, of independence. Yeah. And thinking that independence is the gold star that we get for being, you know, whatever have you. But, and we just herald this, like, we're independent, Independence Day, you know? And yet, like, though we wear it as a gold star, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because it really does leave us lonely. And we expect that we have to do everything on our own. When, you know, village, when they used to live in villages, like, they did everything together. They had to have each other. They would go to neighbors' houses and ask for food. They'd help each other with the kids. They'd do everything together because they knew they needed each other. Yes. And this independence wasn't this, like, deeply rooted, almost like belief system or idol that they had. And we actually started to look as being at being needy as a weakness instead of a strength, you know? And I remember there's a gal named Melissa Helser, you know, she's an amazing singer. I'm obsessed with them. And yes. She always says, like, neediness is your glory and your honor, not your shame. Yeah. And that really stuck with me, because I used to look at neediness like it was bad, and like God did not want me to be needy, you know? And realizing that even in scripture, all over the place, it's like he wants you to need him. Like, he wants to be needed by you. He wants to help you, you know? And so letting God into those places where I'm like, oh, you that's a lie. Like, you actually delight in my neediness. It's so weird to me, because I'm so hyper independent.
Right. Right. It's so antithetical to anything that we've created in our culture.
Yeah.
This wall that we put up with others about, and not even that we need people, but I think for me, it's that if I need people, that means I'll be a burden to them, or, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to, but whenever people have needed me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, yes. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's, and it's not even like 1/1,000,000,000th of like how God feels when we like call on him and say like, God, I need you. He's like, oh my gosh, yes, let's go. What do you do? You know, like he wants to, and it's learning how to receive that. And then also then be able to give to others, and then also receive from the people that he's given to us too. Cause I just keep thinking about how, like, I learn about the love of the Father from the people around me. Like, I only have my perspective of him. And then it's like, I feel like he's placed each one of us on the earth to reflect him in a different way. So it's like learning about who he is through you and through my friends. And like, I get to see the way that they love me. And I'm like, that's not even a teensy bit close to like the way that God loves me and the way that he wants to relate to me too. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it can be pride. A lot of it can be insecurity, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we call it humility, but I think really it's just pride that we're masking. We want to sound, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, you know. For sure. I was even thinking about something that my friend would always say that really, it's nothing crazy, but it just hit me. And she was like, you know, the gospel is so freeing because it's that we were all sinners and Christ died for us. So that means I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, like your best friends are sinners. And so, like, in a sense, we kind of get to expect each other to fail us. You know, it's like when they come to me and they're like, oh my gosh, I did this, this, and this, or I'm so sorry I treated you this way. It's like, you're free. You know, I don't expect you to be perfect. Because I'm a sinner too. It's like that radical ability to see yourself and be like, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have every single ability to fail you in any moment, because my flesh is my flesh. Mm-hmm. And you have that exact same ability too, you know? And it's almost freeing, because it's like you're going into relationships without this idea that people aren't going to hurt you, or that like you're not going to hurt them. And it's having the humility to say, no, I probably will hurt you and you probably will hurt me, but we get to forgive each other and our relationship will be deeper because of that, because we get to overcome. You know, with my husband, like, he is the one of the people that have hurt me the most, really, But he right. is the person that I love the most. Yeah. And our relationship is so sweet and so deep and so rich because mm-hmm. we have stuck it out and fought for each other and fought for love and fought for friendship.
Yeah.
Through those things.
Yeah.
You know, so even with people who are like, oh, I just don't know if I can get into friendships again that are going to hurt me. It's like, mm-hmm. they're going to hurt you, but you're going to hurt them too. You know? Yeah. And it's worth fighting for anyway, because chances are, like, since they're humans too, they really need you, you know, mm-hmm. just like you need them. So.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I liked what you said at the very beginning, just about how you realized you were teaching people how to relate to you. I think that's such a, that's just so good for a lot of us to realize, because I think I definitely can fall into the victim mindset sometimes, just because it's so much easier
totally.
rather than taking responsibility. You were teaching people that you were the one that asked questions and those kinds of things. So then how did you reteach people? Was it through, you said a little bit, but was it through actual conversation, or was it just like behavioral, you know, change? Because I could see it being intimidating for people to be like, hey, so I've taught you to always need me, but I need you, so I'm going to have to teach you.
Yeah, you no, seriously. Well, and it was kind of scary too, because anything you build in one way, you have to sustain in that same way. So it was intimidating, because I was like, oh gosh, this could go really horribly wrong. And over half of my friendships could leave me, because I'm not showing up in the way that I always did that was serving them.
Right.
And so I may end up with one friend when I do this, you know? And I think just realizing, like, man, that really sucks.
Yeah.
But do I want true, deep friendship more than I want multiple friends compared to one friend? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather actually have one true friend that genuinely loves and cares for me and wants to have that reciprocity than 10 friends that really don't, but I sustain the friendship anyway. So I think just kind of slowly integrating that mutual friendship and that mutual like response of them asking me asking them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, I think I just kind of distanced myself a little bit. And yeah, it was true. Like, some friendships did just kind of stop existing, because it just was, ultimately at the end of the day, they kind of wanted what they got from me instead of me. And that's okay. I kind of was expecting that, you know what I mean? And then it was really sweet when the other friendships were actually able to show up for me, because usually I would just mow them down. Like, I wouldn't even give them room to ask me how I was doing, or they just expected me to not answer. And so it was like really sweet that when I would answer and when I would just like shut up and leave room for silence so that they could ask a question, I found that it would flourish. And I think there was like a few people that I kind of talked to about it. But yeah, I think for the most part, I just kind of wanted like a clean slate of, okay, let's go about this differently. And if people fall off, they fall off. And if they don't, then they don't, you know. I didn't really know how to go about it, but it's been cool to watch like the transformation. So
yeah. And so like, how has that change in friendships, like how does that feed you now? Like, what's kind of the difference you've noticed?
Oh my gosh, it's the best. Like, I honestly feel like a kid in the candy shop. And I was so afraid of it, which is so funny. But I just found that a lot of the lies I was believing wasn't true. And I would say that this summer is when I really truly embraced, you know, friendships and whatnot. And I couldn't travel this summer, so I was in Omaha. And yet it was the best summer that I've had in like years, because I just had friendships that were so rich and life-giving. And, you know, it's been so much better for my mental health, my emotional health. Like, when I'm having really bad days, I reach out to them, which I would have never done ever.
Right.
You know, it was I was, yeah, a burden. So having people in my corner, like praying for me and supporting me, and like, I just feel so celebrated and supported and loved. And I could go on and on. Like, it's just been the most beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on letting people into like my grief or like my sadness, or letting people show up while I'm in that place. Like, I'm very much so stay out until I'm better and we're fine, whatever. But I want to start challenging myself to like let people enter in. So I think even when that time comes, like, it'll be even more beautiful, you know? And yeah, so it's been so worth it. It's been so worth risking hurt, you know?
Yeah. And when and if the hurt has come, how has that impacted you?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, I feel like it hasn't come yet in the way that I was expecting it to. Like, things have happened in the past. And I honestly think that's because in the past, I didn't choose maybe as quality of people. So the hurt was a lot more intense. And I think that that's been a gift, but I think that has also taught me a lot about learning the types of friends to pick and being able to see the red flags before you go into it. And I actually really just believe that that determines how things maybe end, if there is hurt or whatever. Yeah. But for the most part, I just feel like, you know, the people that I am in relationship with, they are just more emotionally mature and they're able to talk through things. And it just doesn't have to be a fight. You know, I've like learned a lot about conflict, and I'm not naturally one to bring up issues if they come. But starting to see them as like healing, like, I would never think that I would be the person that's like, tell me what I did wrong. Like, tell me if you're upset with me, just tell me everything, you know? But that's me. I'm like, please tell me, like, if I did something, said something, like, let's hash it out. And I will be happy to tell you, like, that I am so sorry, you know? Like, I have no problem saying sorry. So,
that's really good. Yes, because I think conflict is, like, a huge one for most of us, because it is the most intimate and the most vulnerable place to be, because when I'm giving you my broken or my really hurt, raw heart, you could do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And then and you're right. At any time, I'll make the biggest deal of conflict too. And it's not even like it's not even big things. Like, it'll just be like, hey, you like said that, and I just want to make sure, is that what you meant? And it's like, no, I didn't mean that at all. But of course, like, I was obsessing about it for the whole week.
Yeah. Right.
No, I'm not going to say anything. But in my head, knowing I am already side-eyeing this person that I see them. So God's like, hey, you're assassinating their character. And,
Right.
First of all,
right.
Second of all, let's just be a grown-up. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is such a hard, I suck at conflict.
Well, at least you bring it up, though. Like, that's, I think it's better that you're at least more forward about it than passive. Like, I'm more passive, and I think that's probably also why I haven't had a lot of conflict, is because I skeet around it, you know? Like, so it's very hard to bring up when something did happen and they actually did hurt you, because I would rather just be like, no, it's fine. They didn't hurt me.
Exactly.
So it's hard. It's hard to navigate.
Really hard. Because I don't actually know if there's been a time where I've really said to somebody like, hey, you really hurt my feelings. And they're like, that's stupid of you to think that. I would never. Like, it's never happened. And yet I still have this like such, even in like romantic relationships and stuff. Yeah. It's just like, when you said that, you probably hate me. But
yeah.
You know? And then it's just like, oh, like you're saying, like, so, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Like, 5 seconds were fine, but it took me about 2 weeks to like really, really go into it and just cry about it and be like,
real. Oh my gosh. Honestly, the narratives that especially women have in our heads has killed more relationships than the other person in the relationship itself. You know, it's those narratives and those stories that we just start making up in our minds about things they said, she said, they looked, they did. And it's like all of a sudden we have a full blown movie. And it could be true and it could not, you know?
Yeah, no, it's so true. And the more we do it, the more we just teach ourselves to keep doing it.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, okay, let's learn how to have a little pattern interrupt and choose to, yeah. You were talking about like red flags in relationships. Have you found there's some really good green flags that you've met? I think you mentioned like one or two, but green and red flags that you've noticed like in relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say red flags would be that they are gossips. They gossip a lot. Which as I say these, I would love just for anybody listening as well to be thinking about if this is them too.
Totally.
Because
right.
It's so easy to be like, hey, these people, and then vet all these people, but then being like, I'm great, you know? Yeah. So thinking about if you're a good friend too. And obviously, like, we all have our moments where we gossip and whatever, but it's like a perpetual thing. That's what the conversations are driven around or centered around, is gossip. I would say that's a red flag, because if they're talking about other people, they're probably talking about you. Someone who honestly was like me, that doesn't share ever. You don't know anything about them. And I don't think that that's something where it's like, oh no, they're, you know, a bad person or whatever, but maybe challenge them and just say, hey, like, I've noticed this. Red flag being the only way they have fun is drinking or doing like destructive things. If there is like just a natural toxicity that follows where, you know, they're pretty careless or their character just isn't leading you into a better place. Like they always say that you become like the five people you're closest to. So if you are surrounding yourselves with people and you're noticing that you're not becoming better or you're not growing because of it, then they're probably not great people to surround yourself with and have in your corner. Then I would say people that are not walking in humility, that if you do bring up something that had hurt you, that they just go off and they're mad and they guilt you, they're passive. You know, they make you have to work for the friendship again to like earn their love back. I would say that that's a big red flag. And then also just, I would say like, really, if there's a place where they make you feel unsafe in that they're very volatile or like guilting, or if you're someone who's like, hey, I'm not drinking anymore, and they're like, hey, let's go drink, you're going to drink anyway. It's like, okay, red flag. Just not respecting that you want to grow. And then green flags, gosh, they do walk in humility. Like you bring something up and they're like, okay, I can totally see that. I can totally see that. Or maybe they're like, I don't really understand, but like, help me understand. You know, they're just willing to talk through it with you. People that do make you better, that like want to keep you accountable, where, you know, if you're going in one direction and they're like, hey, like I see this in your life and like, I know this isn't who you are, and they're willing to tell you the truth. I think a lot of people in this culture right now are afraid of truth. Like they're a little bit allergic to it, you know, and they're like, oh gosh, they told me the truth, they're a terrible friend. It's like, actually them telling you the truth is the most loving thing they can do. So telling you the truth, and I guess going back to the red flag, if they lie to you and they just permit everything you do and never call you out on anything, that's actually a red flag. Green flag being, they protect others. They're not trying to just sit and gossip all the time. I feel like there are so many, but
those are really, really good. And it is good to always be self-assessing as well. I think at some point I probably have done all of them.
Same.
Like growing. Yeah. So it's learning how can I be a better friend to others, because, you know, I want to nurture those kind of relationships. Before we close, I want to, thinking of somebody listening to this who's just like, either I feel like I'm bad in relationships, or I really, really desire to have just like some deep connection in friendship. Like, is there any just encouragement or wisdom you would give them?
Yeah. Well, I would say get the book by Jenny Allen, because it's so good.
You post some stuff about it, and I screenshot it. I haven't bought it yet, but.
Oh, you got it. You'll love it. And she gives a lot of prompts too, of like, okay, this is what we said, but now this is what you're going to go do. And I need prompts. But gosh, I would just say that even though it's scary and even though there could be a lot of risk in it, first of all, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You'll always have a friend in him. And when we can't do it alone, like, he always goes with us, you know, regardless of if we do it alone or, you know, like,
yeah,
he always goes with us and he'll give us the courage to. And so pray and ask God, God, would you bring me really, like, good, solid friendships? Please, mm-hmm. Lord, like, open my eyes. Show me the people that you want me to start pursuing. Show me how I can ask them to get coffee or whatever. Like, give me the courage. But just praying and asking the Lord to bring you those friendships, because he desires that for you. He wants that for you. And asking him to give you the courage to do that. And just looking around, like, okay, who in my life, maybe just one person, can I just commit myself to pursuing, and just pursuing that one person? You know, don't set these high and lofty goals for yourself that are just too hard. Like, friendships can be really scary at first. So any step is a step, and that's what matters.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And then to somebody who is like, okay, yeah, cute, good advice, but I've been hurt before, so I don't want to.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I mean, it makes me think of myself. And so I would just say, man, if, again, like, if you can go to the Lord and talk it out with him, do it. Tell him why you're angry. Tell him why it hurts. Tell him why you're mad. Be honest with the Lord and let him meet you in that place. Mm-hmm. Because I could tell you a lot of things, and people could have told me a lot of things then, but no one changed my perspective or my desire to just lean into pain, really, or lean into the potential for hurt, but the Lord. And so really, if you can just go to the Lord and talk to him about it and be honest, like, I promise you'll come out of it probably crying, weeping, being like, yeah, I think I want friends.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it. I feel like you just have a lot of good. You're a deep well of wisdom. So.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.